its current state, you're listening to 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, or an ASD, across the nation. Here in Michigan, approximately 16,000 students and 50,000 individuals have an ASD. Last April, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly signed an autism insurance reform law, making Michigan the 30th state to mandate state-regulated insurance plans offer coverage for autism treatment and diagnosis. The law also provides $15 million in funding for autism insurance providers. Now, on March 18th, the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Autism Council released the Michigan Autism Spectrum Disorders State Plan. Joining us to talk about this, we welcome to Current State Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. Hi, Brian Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Great to be on the show again.
Thank you. And Jane Turner is a member of the Michigan Autism Council and a professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Human Development here at Michigan State University. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Lieutenant Governor Kelly, just tell us a little bit about your experience as a parent of a child with an autism spectrum disorder. What are the challenges involved? What are the difficulties involved?
Well, aside from the behavioral challenges that every family living with autism spectrum disorders faces, just from a daily management standpoint, access to services is, I believe today, the number one issue. And while we've changed the insurance laws, because of the denial of insurance coverage for autism services, behavioral services in particular, there really aren't many providers in Michigan. There's maybe 45 or 50 behavioral therapists in all of Michigan for 16,000 kids and 50,000 adults that have autism. So we've got a long way to go in development of that network. But the exciting thing is it's really starting to happen. Our universities are starting to really ramp up their programs that create behavioral therapists. And we've got some others that went elsewhere for looks. Some young folks that graduated college in this field went elsewhere to look for a career and are coming back to Michigan now. So this activity is really exciting.
You have such a personal stake in this legislation. Talk to us about that. You must feel personally connected to this issue.
This is an area where, you know, I've got a daughter who's 6 years old and she has autism. And as you can probably imagine, somebody in a position like mine, even with all the challenges, was able to find behavioral therapy for my daughter. But the average person had no chance at all. And so it was really important for me to step up and take a leadership role in taking the experience that I had and using it for those thousands of families out there that have struggled through it. And it really is something else. Everywhere I go, I get stopped by parents of kids with autism more than any other subject for any other purpose, whether I'm at an airport or I'm at the store or right now I'm up in Mackinac, of course, with a bunch of people here for the Light the Bridge Blue for Autism Awareness Month here in Mackinac. But it's really a wonderful experience to be a part of this transformation that we have going on in Michigan right now.
April is Autism Awareness Month then.
That's right. April is Autism Awareness Month, and today, April 2nd, is Global Autism Awareness Day.
Okay.
And so we're lighting the Mackinac Bridge blue, and with all the cable lights have been switched out, money privately raised, sponsored by DTE Energy. And this is it'll be a great statement that the state of Michigan is really serious about dealing with autism spectrum disorders.
Jane Turner, let's get a little more context on autism spectrum disorders. Can you talk about that from 5 miles up?
Sure, yes, thanks. Autism spectrum, it is a spectrum of disorders, meaning some individuals are very severely touched by the disorder and others may be more mildly touched by the disorder. In essence, there are three major areas of difficulty for individuals with autism. One is in communication. language delay or communication disorder. Another is in social interactions. And the third major area of difficulty is in repetitive or stereotypical behavior. So what does that mean? An individual with a classic autism will have significant difficulty in language, may not be verbal at all, have difficulties interacting with other individuals, have difficulties not sharing attention with others or being able to interact, because some individuals who have a speech disorder or a language disorder can still interact with you, but an individual with autism is having trouble in both of those. And then repetitive behaviors, stereotypical behaviors, doing the same thing over and over, or a very intense interest in one thing and nothing else can catch their interest. And that also translates into great difficulty in transitions, in making a transition from saying playing inside to let's play outside. Any change in routine can be very difficult. That's on one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum would be someone who has the diagnosis of Asperger's disorder, in which the communication disorder isn't as great. They may have normal language, but may use language a little differently than other folks, and will have problems with social interactions, and then some very limited interest, some certain things that are intensely interesting and other things that are not. So there's a wide spectrum, and every individual, of course, is an individual, has different issues, but those are the three major problems for children and adults with autism.
Lieutenant Governor Calley suggested that the shortage of therapists is one of the really towering challenges here. Would you agree with him on that score?
I certainly do agree with him on that score. I think that the last count, there's somewhere around 40 certified behavioral analysts in the state. We have been training, as he mentioned, we do have training programs here in the state, and those individuals that have graduated from, say, Eastern Michigan University or Western have been moving out of state. We also have, as he mentioned, there's good news on the horizon. Michigan State is starting a certificate program, a graduate certificate program will be launched in the fall in the College of Education for people to be then eligible for a certification. So we're working on that. It's not the only deficit we have. We also don't have enough individuals. We don't have enough multidisciplinary teams to do the evaluation and make the diagnosis. Right now, for children to be able to access the services, someone, a qualified team needs to make the diagnosis. And we have just a few centers around the state that have pulled that together. We have the individuals. We need to get them coordinated, working together, as well as train more people to do that.
What's at the heart of the training of a really good therapist or behavioral clinician here for someone with autism? What's at the heart of their skill set?
Wow, that's a tough question, because I'm a pediatrician and I don't know how to do applied behavior analysis, which is what it is. So you're kind of taking me outside of my area. The Lieutenant Governor may be able to answer that one better, because he's working with a behavior analyst with his daughter.
Brian Calley, any response to that?
That's the hard part, Mark, is because it's experience. And so if somebody decides that they want to go into this field, there's an education process, and there's a few different types of undergraduate programs or degrees you can go through that are relevant that help you get started. But really what it comes down to is literally thousands of hours working with a professional in this field. So it's like other medical professions like nursing, where sure, you go through and get formal education, but then you have to spend clinical hours actually doing the job with somebody who's a mentor or in a residency or tutor type situation. And so it's not a fast process in getting people from where they're at today to qualify to deliver this service.
That sounds worrisome here. How long do you think it may take? I mean, has anyone looked at how long it might take to get up to a more effective place in terms of the number of clinicians involved?
When we looked at other states that pass the autism insurance reform laws, because that's the first step. See, people won't go into a field where you can't get paid. So once you make the economics around providing the service work, then you just have to go through a process of getting people here that are qualified to deliver the service. Other states are experiencing that at a rate of about 3 to 5 years from the passage of the autism insurance reform. We're determined to do better than that. We have an autism state plan. Now we have universities already up and running that are just expanding their programs, Eastern and Western, as Dr. Turner mentioned, and then also Michigan State University, U of M, and Oakland University, all involved in various aspects of it as well and ramping up what they're doing. And so when you consider the resource of the universities that we have in Michigan today, and the fact that we have trained a lot of these professionals that went to other states to find work, I think we have a leg up on the competition. So we're aggressively trying to get these professionals back in our state and train people here. And so we're determined to beat that 3 to 5 year estimate that other states have experienced.
Jane Turner, what difference does early diagnosis make?
Oh, early diagnosis makes a huge difference because the intervening earlier, providing the services early, you get much more, a much better outcome than if you delay it, provide the services later. And we have a long way to go, not just in Michigan, but across the country and really around the world. Right now, I think the average age of diagnosis of autism is age 4. And the diagnosis can be made in most cases before age 2, and in fact, in many cases, even earlier than that, at 12 months or 18 months, you get much better outcome. You get more improvement in the child's functioning if you work with them early. So very important that we move that diagnosis down.
And what do Michigan's changes here mean for kids who don't have autism but have some other neurodevelopmental disorder?
Well, that's a good question, and that's a major question that came up when this legislation was coming forward. There was a fair amount of controversy about that. Are we going to focus on autism and neglect children with other neurodevelopmental disorders? Are we going to get so focused that we're going to be doing less for the others? I think, and in the autism state plan, it states this also, by working on our systems of care for individuals with ASD, we will be improving our systems of care and our early recognition of other developmental disorders and providing interventions for children with other disorders, though they may not specifically get be qualified for the applied behavior analysis for autism. So it does give us an opportunity to improve our, not even an more than an opportunity, it forces us to improve our systems of care. And we're already seeing that. We're seeing children who are being evaluated for autism, and then they don't have autism, but they are getting access to other services to approach their diagnosis.
Very good. We got to leave it there. Jane Turner's a member of the Michigan Autism Council. We want to thank Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly for also joining us. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.